You're on the stream.
Thank you. Excellent. You are listening to the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee meeting for December 27th. I am Catherine Davis, the chair. Our vice chair is Eric Ramey, and our secretary is Jim Dingman. And we have, I am going to take the official roll call for this meeting. Grace Aaron is absent. Ken Aaron?
Present.
Wesley Bethune? Absent. Catherine Davis, which present. Benito Diaz? Absent. James Dingman? Present. Dwayne Lark? Absent. Steve Pry? Absent. Eric Ramey?
Present.
Present. Tom Voorhees?
Here.
Present. And Maxie Jackson?
Present.
Excellent. Thank you. So we do have quorum for today's meeting. So I need a timekeeper.
Done.
All righty. Thank you, Eric. Approved minutes. Do we have minutes, Jim?
I'll get them out to you the next day or two.
Okay. So we're going to remove that from the agenda. Okay, so the next would be changes or additions to the agenda. So it's a long agenda. I'm not going to read through every single thing. I'll just read the titles. The motions for consideration are itemized on the agenda. They were all sent to everyone on December 3rd. I've included them here so it would be easier to find it, though I did reformat some of them because they were not clear to me. So I'll leave it to you, Jim, to decide if I did that with your intent. We can correct as we go along. So the first was implementation of evaluation policy. Let's see. Staff skills survey was 2. Annual radio arts conference is 3. Video and audio streaming is 4. Blockchain programming is 5. QIMS or ratings improvement is 6. Hybridization or social media integration is 7. Collaboration with journalism broadcast schools is 8. Nielsen ratings is 9. Podcasting policy is 10. OneDrive preempted shows on digital platform is 11. Public events is 12. Technical needs is 13. Use of surveys is 14. Traffic management is 15. And let's see, that's staff training was 16. So I don't remember if any of these were passed, but I believe I got them all. But if not, please let us know. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? I've given 10 minutes to each item.
There was one addition that had to do with KPFA in particular that's not included, and I can send that along, or we can deal with it the next meeting. But I'd want to Tom might speak to at some point, but that would be integrated into the video streaming and audio streaming issue.
Okay, so maybe you can speak about that when we get to it.
Sure.
All right. All right. So
this is Ken to the staff. This is Ken to the staff.
Yes, Ken.
We're at the point right now of approving the agenda.
Yes.
And this is like one of these. This is too clumped up. There's too many. There's 14, 15 different actions apparently put in one motion. And so I moved that, or I requested the agenda be broken down. That each motion, each item is a separate motion, so that they can be voted on separately.
Each item is intended to be a separate motion.
Okay, so these are 14 motions.
Yeah.
The only confusion on that then is, pardon me, the confusion on that is, motions usually have a sentence of motivation. And then a whereas clause. This has one motivation and 14 whereas clauses. 14 clauses based on the one motivation. So if you pass the motion and present it at PNB, it's there, you know, I don't know if the intent is to repeat the motivation or not. And also, all these motions were sent to the committee. Oh, I see. Let me take that back. So it's whereas and there. Okay, each one has their own whereas clause, right?
Yes,
or
sir.
Okay,
that
so they're all
the,
separate
that
motions.
Was one of the,
okay.
That was one of the correct.
Okay, so these are 14 separate motions. These are 14 separate motions. Okay. So my only issue is if there's no other business, we have nothing else to address, then I think it's fine. If we do have something else to address, I don't think these 14 motions should be, you know, maybe we handle three at a time or something, you know, three, and then if there's other business that has to come in. But doing these 14 motions is going to take several meetings.
They've more or less been on the table for a number of weeks, and hopefully people had a chance to review some of them. We will get to as many as we can.
Okay. All right.
Does
I had a misunderstanding. I withdraw my request to change the agenda.
Okay. All right. So hearing no changes or additions, this agenda is passed. And our first item is implementation of evaluation policy. Jim, would you like to present this motion?
Do you want me to read it? All right. Whereas the Technical Foundation passed resolutions seeking evaluation process of all programs at each station be implemented many months ago, and the lack of an ongoing and fair evaluation process at all certificate stations is one source of unwanted tension, since when change is made, it can be done abruptly, seemingly unfairly, and disruptively because the teams implementing the change are responding to long simmering problems that need to be suddenly altered. It is preferred that a fair process be developed and implemented for all the shows so change can be made and tweaked and done if necessary. This is not to mean that shows should not be removed if they no longer have any gravitas, but other forms of audio delivery need to be developed so that shows removed from analog can also be allowed to thrive as digital shows. The lack of training and evaluation processes at the stations is part of the process of bad management of the air that needs to be rectified. Be resolved that it will be the responsibility of local general managers and program directors to give an update quarterly as to how this policy is being implemented. The reports on how the implementation of the evaluation policy are going must start in January 2019 and then be done on a quarterly basis in written form and submitted to the PNBED and PNB Programming Committee. I should add that there was a evaluation policy passed months ago, and what I'm trying to do with this is to basically have some implementation and responsibility of it being implemented.
Okay, so I don't have that in. So I'm going to say, be it resolved that there will be a evaluation policy. Can you do you accept that change?
Well, there already is an evaluation policy that was passed by the PNB before this committee met. It just was that this is language
okay.
sort of further reinforcing.
To make sure it gets done. Okay,
yeah,
I won't add anything.
Yeah.
All right. Are there any questions or comments on this motion?
Maxie to the stack.
Yes, Maxie.
So, Jim, consider this friendly fire. I mean no disrespect, but I have challenges to quite a few of these motions. Challenges or amendments or suggestions. So I'll start with this one, obviously. I have a couple concerns with the wording of this. Fair is subjective. I think that's an odd phrase for me, at least with respect to evaluating programming. I think it should be limited to the program director, not the general manager. I think we need to have a clear definition of roles, and program evaluation really should be a program director's mission and purpose. January seems arbitrary, so I question why January this begins. I know there's an urgency to just do. And then quarterly is, I think, too frequent for evaluation programming. It usually takes a good year to understand whether a program is performing well. You certainly want to monitor a program on a quarterly basis, even monthly. But the real value in evaluating programming happens on an annual basis, year to year. And the last thing I'll say as a preamble, if you will, is that the evaluation policy that was passed, I'd love to get my eyes on that. I'm not familiar with that. But here are some suggestions I wanted to make in lieu of this motion. One of the things I said in New York, and I would say this in every station that I would visit, is that the program director needs to meet and should be required to meet with programmers quarterly, beginning as early as April 2019. That's the second annual quarter, if you will. Program evaluation should be based on what I would consider to be traditional measurements. They include presentation, scheduling flow, audience data, and revenue to be evaluated annually. And so I just wanted to put that on. Again, I haven't seen the evaluation policy that was passed, but from a professional programming standpoint, presentation, scheduling flow, audience data, and revenue generation of the program, to me, are the essential things to evaluate a program. So then I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Would anyone else like to comment or ask a question?
This is Ken to the staff.
Yes, Ken.
Well, I don't understand what the last speaker are you recommending an amendment, or are you just making a comment?
Well, that was Max.
You're recommending. I know. Oh, he's not part of the committee. He's just a guest.
I'm not sure how that works, but he's the executive director. I don't know how that works. I think he's suggesting that a change be made to incorporate these recommendations. So.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Is it's perfectly. I think it's great that Jim has come up with these motions. I'm not saying they shouldn't exist. I'm just trying to suggest some alternative ways to consider the evaluation process and how to go about doing evaluation formally as a function of the station.
Okay.
Kathy, I'll wait till other people comment.
Okay, does anyone else want to comment? I guess not, Jim.
All right. Those are fair comments, Maxie. And obviously your criticism and your points there are well taken. Part of my motivation in putting forth this, and I thought that the evaluation policy was indeed sent to you. If Grace was on the phone, she'd probably send it to you immediately. I thought that was sent to you a few weeks ago. But in any event, there has not been any process like this, as far as I can see, in any
of these
cases.
Could people please mute if you're not talking? Go ahead.
I don't think there's been a process like this for years. And that's one of the problems that happened when all of a sudden, you know, the necessity for change because of all sorts of factors comes looming in like an avalanche. And then people have to come in there and start talking about things. And you sort of see the kind of stuff that's going on in the stations right now. So I think that there's enough content that's been on the air now for years, for decades in some cases, that some sort of evaluation process should start right away, because there's some producers who've been on the air for 50 years in some cases, 30 years, 20 years. So it's not like they don't have a track record. And we already have the metrics of how much money each show raises. I totally agree with you that that cannot be the sole criterion. That's a big mistake. But I do think, and all the different points you made, I'm right on. I agree with that. It just is that I think that we have to start setting some sort of date to start get this process underway, and to wait a year, I think, is just not adequate enough, because these problems have been going on for years and years and not been addressed.
Maxie, to the stack.
Yes, Maxie.
And I'll be brief with this. I would just simply suggest that, you know, since these are your motions that you put forward, if you feel comfortable or that they're worthy to assimilate or to absorb into your motion, choose which pieces feel good to you and which ones don't, and make it part of. The only reason I say a year is because what I experienced in New York is people who felt like there was no real evaluation process that they were being judged on, at least no one that was articulated. And I think even if people have been on for 50 years or 50 days, what needs to be articulated very clearly is what programming is evaluated on moving forward, and that the PDs can establish that and work towards helping people get to that point. So, again, this is friendly fire. I'm recommending and suggesting things in many respects to complement what you've provided here. And if you can find value in what I've suggested, bring it and absorb it in. If you don't like some certain things, don't.
Ken, to the staff.
Ken.
Yeah, I'd have to concur mostly with what Jim stated. We have most of the programs are archived, so in terms of professionalism as broadcasters, that can be evaluated. I know it takes resources to sit and listen to the programming, but it certainly is available. Everything's recorded. Likewise, revenue in some cases, Arbitron ratings are available for programmers, especially if they've been there for more than 5 years or something. And personally, I think our attention, well, the bylaws said we have to make sure that program changes are done in a reasonable manner with an adherence to the emission statement. And it's unfortunate the ED is not familiar with the policy that was passed by the PNB. I thought we had sent him copies of it, but it definitely has been approved by the PNB, and it includes the metrics that he mentioned and a few others like adherence to the mission statement. But I agree with Jim. We are not in a state where we have a five-year funding from the government to develop a station. we're in a situation where the boat is already sunk and we're trying to recover it with a pneumatic, you know, to get it back up to the surface. So we can't really be too relaxed in terms of evaluating, correcting, changing. We really have to get on the stick with this. So I think it's more appropriate to do things on a more intense level. I agree with Jim. Quarterly, January, no need to wait for April for people to get their breath because they're in some kind of shock because somebody's going to evaluate their programming.
Okay, please.
So that's my viewpoint. So I support the motion the way it is.
Eric to the stack, if I may.
Yes, Eric.
No, I was going to, is that, Jim, is that your motion? Just, I lost track.
Jim submitted all of these motions.
Jim, would you be willing to withdraw the reference to the GM being part of the process there?
Yeah, of course, of course. And frankly, all of Maxie's comments are well taken, and I would definitely want to integrate them into a motion like this. It just is, I'd like to get this motion yay or nay, and then integrate what Maxie has to say down in the next time we come up, and then sort of try to incorporate his very excellent suggestions into it. But I want to get something moving on this, and I'd be willing to take the general manager issue out. Although in reality, of course, general managers have a great impact on evaluating programming. That's been my experience for years. But I'd be perfectly happy to take that out.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, so your intention is to integrate at least some of these suggestions. Well, it'll be difficult for us to pass the motion without having the wording.
Correct, but I would like to suggest that we vote yay or nay on the motion, and then I will come back next meeting with another motion that incorporates some of incorporates the suggestions that Maxie made. I just want to get the show on the road here because
it's
been going on for years and years. We all know this. We just got to start getting something going.
Okay, so this is a vote in principle, I'm saying, pending final language.
Correct.
Okay, does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. And I will call everyone's name. Ken Aaron?
I'm sorry, I support it, but I think I would request you first check for any objection. I don't think there's any objection.
Okay, that's a good idea. Are there any objections to supporting this motion in principle? And we'll come back with the final language at the next meeting. No objections? Okay, so that is passed.
And I will note that I will rewrite this and incorporate the kind of comments that Maxie made and anyone else who's not on the call made.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We're going to go to the next one. Staff Skills Survey. Would you like to present that one?
Yes. Okay. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation has in each station many dozens of paid and unpaid staff with skills on a wide variety of issues, be it resolved that GMs and PDs at each station will complete a survey of all their paid and unpaid talent that will be initiated in January 2019 and completed by March 2019. Its progress will be reported quarterly in reports sent to the ED, PNB, and PNB Programming Committee. The implementation of these measures will be part of the performance evaluation for all GMs and PDs at each specific station. Now, the reason for that is along the lines of something you've raised, Kathy, and that is, we need to know what skills exist with the paid and unpaid staff.
that we perhaps are not tapping properly. When we had the motion about having diversity and people of color in the, to be emphasized in the coverage of major national political events, well, the question became like, well, who's in the staff, and paid and unpaid, who has the talents that we may not know about to actually contribute to national political or local political conversation? So this is the purpose of this kind of survey, which I've heard in different kind of discussions in the past couple of months.
Okay. Anyone for the stack?
Eric to the stack, if I may.
Okay, Eric.
These reports would go to, it's going in too many different directions, I think. It's going to the ED, the PNB, PNB Programming Committee. I mean, if their reports, there's a minimal concern here that if one or two of these groups is not, one or two or three, two of these entities are not in agreement, I guess my question is, in as much as it is a report, does it end there, or do they have some kind of, I mean, outside of the ED, with the PNB and the programming, PNB Programming Committee, be in some position to respond or reject the report, or something of that nature?
Well, it's more to just see, like, for example, there may be somebody doing a show on music. It may have knowledge about healthcare. I mean, it's just as if we're talking about creating national strip shows in the morning and the afternoon, that would really be better implemented with a lot of participation from a lot of people from around the network because of a lack of resources to pay people. So these are kind of practical things I'm thinking about. It's just good to know, like, what do people think their skills are? You know, what, and so that can be useful for people planning different kinds of programming at a national level, locally, or whatnot. You know, I mean, let's see.
And these are the fact.
Yeah, and just to finish, when Democracy Now! Got first started, when Amy was put into the morning show at BAI, she actually asked all the producers to contribute, and some did, some didn't. But the idea was to involve all the staff in producing a morning show. Now, we know that has problems because what you really need are paid staff to really carry them along. But this is some way to sort of get that sort of process in motion. You know, and that's all it is. It's not to be some big deal. What do people think they're good at or not good at? What do they know?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Ken to the stack. Ken to the stack.
Okay. All right. Anissa, then Ken.
Okay. Well, I think skill sets and stuff is important, but I think as stations we have to look at our community and, you know, geographic representation, because we want to be able to, send somebody from the African-American community to the Martin Luther King parade and not send a white face if we can help it. I mean, not that they would do any worse, but we wanted somebody, you know, connected to the community at certain events.
Okay. So, all right.
Ken, do the stack.
Yes, Ken.
We have 14 motions. I believe this motion should be referred to the Personnel Committee. Inventory on staff abilities belongs in personnel. I totally support the concept. We should know everything about our staff, but there's other factors besides getting on the air. Somebody may know computers or plumbing or air conditioning or marketing or management and so forth, or speak foreign languages. This is a personnel issue. It's not a programming issue. And I think we have plenty to discuss and deal with. So I don't consider it. I'm not normally this strict, but you know, like, oh, personnel does personnel and programming does programming. You know, fine. It doesn't matter if there's an overlap. But we got 14 motions here, and this is a personnel issue. I feel not a programming issue.
Okay.
Jim's in second.
Okay.
I agree, Ken, we should move on, but it's not necessarily to be a personnel issue. It's more to be a content issue. What do people have in terms of content? For example, Anistos mentioned, well, to send white, don't send white folk to do this or do that. I happen to enjoy Africa. I was actually trained in African history, and I've lived in Africa. So I enjoy talking and listening to people talk about Africa all the time. That's been something I've been interested in for 50 years of my life. So I think that there are all sorts of skill sets that people have in terms of knowledge. It's more like what knowledge they have, which we know is incredibly diverse, incredibly eclectic in any Pacifica station. So it's more to figure out where people might be able to help other people out in doing shows or doing something we can't even imagine. That's all. It's not necessarily, I don't see it as a personnel thing. I see it more as a talent issue or what content do people have? What multiplicity of content do they have? That's more of what I meant, not a personnel issue.
Okay, so does anyone want to second the sending this to the personnel committee?
I will.
Who's that?
Anissa.
Anissa?
I will.
Okay, you'll second it.
Well, as much as I love my station, I'm not sure anybody is paying in on my station except me. So, I mean, as long as you can round up, if you have enough boots on the ground that we can find somebody that has knowledge, that's good.
Okay. Well, I'm sure people have knowledge. So are there objections to sending this to the personnel committee?
Yes, I object.
Okay. All right, so I will take a vote on sending this to the personnel committee. Ken Aaron. Ken Aaron.
Yes, I'm sorry. I keep it on mute normally. Yes,
that's
send
okay.
It to personnel.
Okay. Anissa Peruki?
Aye.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Eric Ramey?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Abstain. Well, I'm going to pass for the moment.
Okay. And let's see. I'm going to say no. Okay. So let's see. Do I have everyone? Jim, you said no, right?
No, correct.
Okay. Anissa, Eric. Okay, so Tom, you're the only one left to vote in this moment.
I'm gonna say no then.
Okay. Alrighty, so we have 1, 2, 3 yeses and 1, 2, 3 no's. So I guess that fails. So it fails. And do you want to, let's bring it to a vote then, this motion. So Ken Aaron.
Pass.
Okay. Let's see. James Dingman.
Yes.
Anissa Haruki.
Aye for the to send it to personnel.
No, we've heard that motion already failed. Now we're voting on the main motion.
Okay, how did that, I'm forgetting, how does that differ from the main motion?
The main motion is the motion itself, not referred.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is I don't have in front of me. I don't know what the how the what was the reading of the main motion.
Jim just read it. Staff skills survey. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation has in each station many dozens of paid and unpaid staff with skills on a wide variety of issues, be it resolved that the GM and PDs at each station will complete a survey of all their paid and unpaid talent that will be initiated in January 2019 and completed and done by March 2019. Its progress will be reported quarterly and reports sent to the EDPMB and PMB Programming Committee. The implementation of these measures will be part of the performance evaluation for the GMs, PDs at each Pacifica station. That is the motion.
Okay. Catherine, I have a request for information.
I'm sorry.
The vote is already underway. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, what was it, Anissa?
I will agree on a main motion.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, Eric.
Abstain.
Okay. Abstain. Tom.
Yes.
Okay. And did I vote? I'm going to say yes. Catherine says yes. And so, Ken Aaron, you passed?
I'd say yes.
Yes. Okay. All right, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeses, 1 abstention. The motion passes. The main motion passes. Okay. Eric, you had a question? Was it about
I didn't. I forgot the vote was actually underway. It should have come before the vote started. I'm sorry.
What was your question, Matt?
You know, I'm getting old. I have brain damage. I literally don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it'll come back up later.
Yeah, it'll come back.
We're all pretty much on, well, not all of us. Maxie is pretty young, but most of us are pretty old. number 3, annual Radio Arts Conference. Jim?
Hi. Whereas Pacifica needs to work with all sorts of broadcast organizations and educational institutions in their signal areas, it will be the goal of the foundation to annually fund and sponsor a local radio, audio, new media conference in their respective signal areas and other panels and symposium that will create alliances and raise the dialogue and conversation about new media and the aesthetics of radio and new multimedia. Be it resolved that the policy of the Pacifica Foundation implement this annually. This can be done through the mobilization of local talent and organizations to make it happen. The foundation will fiscally support such activities and will be required to have a report as to the status of these efforts by June 2019. All station management will be evaluated as to their adherence to the implementation of these measures. Okay. First of all, this used to happen in New York back in the 80s. Larry Josephson used to do this. He used to have radio art conferences. I used to go to conferences that were sponsored at the Goethe Foundation by the German government. They would bring in radio art people from Europe, and they would be joined by people at WBAI. Now, we're in a situation in New York where we're in probably the second or third highest concentration of podcasting action going on in the country. I think it's the first in the country. And there's all these new media initiatives that go on, so there's no reason why BNI or any Pacifica Foundation can't decide to work with other partners, not only in the universities, but grassroots media organizations, and particularly the tri-state area with community radio stations, and get together and say, look, guys, and something like what the Grassroots Radio Conference does or what the NFCB does, but do something that's tailored to the signal area in New York and get people together and create alliances and find talent and other unforeseen alternatives and policies and issues that we may not even imagine that we could implement. And there's all sorts of things that go on in New York that we just that could glom onto and work with. So I think we need to take the lead locally and do our own thing and be seen as a leader.
Okay. Is Eric to the stack, if I might.
Okay,
you,
Eric.
I don't know if this was an amended version that Jim just read. I have something in front of me that says it will be the goal of the foundation to annually fund and sponsor. Is that part of the language, Jim?
Yeah, they need to, you know, like it's, we're not talking about a lot of money because we're talking about basically, I'm for example, I nearly pulled something like this off in September. The problem was the New York Public Library changed their policy about using free space. But I'd gotten a huge auditorium for free. And so there's ways, but I went to the foundation to sort of see that it's, you know, if they put 500 or 600 or 1,000 bucks into something like this, it's not like blowing the money. It's not like wasting money. It's something that could be positive and good. So, yeah, I'd want them to help us out financially. Absolutely.
Okay. Anyone else for the staff? Okay.
Matthew, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Do you have any ideas?
No, I'm at peace with this. I like it.
Okay, cool.
Okay. All right. So, so let's. Any other comments? Okay. So we'll take a vote. Or are there any objections to this motion? Okay, so this motion carries without objection.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
This is Eric.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to mention to you, it's 9:30 or 9:23 now. I'm sure it's going to take us more than 30 minutes to get through this. That's just an advisory, it seems. That's just a heads up.
Okay. What we will do is... where we leave off, we'll start at the next meeting. Okay? So hopefully we'll get to as much as we can. Number four, video and audio streaming. Jim, do you want to present it?
Okay. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation needs to constantly refresh and make more relevant and timely the content offered on the airwaves. The emphasis will be on new content and shows, not on reinforcing and just simply delivering existing shows that may have little to no audience at all. Be it resolved that it will be the policy of the Foundation and all its radio stations to develop live audio and video streaming channels on its website, as well as internet radio stations that are separate from the analog configuration that at each station currently exists. The goal will be to allow new content and forms to be broadcast through digital forms of delivery. This will include live video streaming of political, educational, and cultural events or events of any type that are deemed timely and necessary and may interfere with the analog programming. In other words, setting up totally new channels for broadcasting. The new streaming channels will be guided by the Pacifica mission statement and will be considered and reinforced by advertisement on the analog channel, as well as reciprocal advertisement for the analog programming on the digital channels. The implementation of this will begin by March 2019. Upon that date, a report from the local management teams will be made as to the progress in implementing video, audio, and internet streaming channels. These reports will be made to the EDPNBN Programming Committee of the PNB. Implementation of these new measures will be part of the evaluation process for local management teams and to get this off the ground. The widest coalition of players and helpers is encouraged to see it implemented. Okay, I'll just briefly speak to it. We should have been doing this for the past 10 years. I mean, this is ridiculous that we're way behind the eight ball on this. And I would ask Tom perhaps to also talk about his initiative with KPFA, but I can think of many, many times when we were in the middle of a marathon and then there were massive demonstrations outside 120 Wall Street. I think the largest demonstration outside of Labor Day of labor unions was going on, and we couldn't broadcast it because we didn't have the ability to stream it or people didn't want to interfere with the marathon. So this is a potential reason. We had people in Occupy Wall Street who worked with us who wanted to do this. We never got us off the ground. And there's all sorts of ways that we could further distinguish ourselves and brand ourselves locally by putting on demonstrations live with a video streaming. Maybe have a couple of people down there doing it with audio, video streaming, audio streaming. And, you know, we were able to essentially use the digital technology in ways that are not bound by the 168 hours of analog programming. But I would like to ask Tom to just talk about a little bit about what he was talking about at KPFA, if he could have a minute to discuss his initiative at KPFA.
Certainly, Tom, if you want to.
Well, I didn't initiate initiate it to start with, but my one concern was if streaming is going to go out over the air simultaneously, that we provide a button to deal with any of the proceeded with any of the what's the word I want prohibited words that the FCC would get us in trouble for. And that would provide, that would be necessary for a person to be sitting next to the delay button so that we don't get into trouble with FCC. That's really the only thing I have to say. Other than that, I agree with what Jim is presenting.
Okay.
Carrick to the stack, if I may.
Maxie and Eric was next.
Okay. Eric, if you want to go first, you should.
Eric?
I'm just concerned that there may or may not be flexibility on the date of March 20th. Are you flexible with the date? I'd say that because I dare say we won't be ready to go in Washington by March 20th. It's not impossible, but it doesn't look like we'd be able to. So I'm just asking, my question is there flexibility on the date?
Of course.
Okay, good enough.
Okay, Maxie?
All right, so I've got a few thoughts on this. First of all, I want to challenge the notion of emphasizing new content here. First and foremost, I think what might inform this motion, from my perspective, is the notion that all of our stations should be required to have the capacity to do video and audio streaming. I would put that in here in support of this motion. But the second part, which is probably more important, is that I think it's very ambitious and, I dare I say, naive to think that the bulk of our programming can be converted or that we have the resources, the human power, if you will, the capacity at our stations to do this well, to do it regularly, and to do it effectively. And so what I would like to recommend are two approaches to video and audio streaming that might support this initiative in a slightly variant way than it's articulated. The first is every station, in my opinion, should have a signature program, something that it's sort of known for,
whether it's a morning drive show or a midday public affairs show or something that happens across Monday through Friday that is sort of the signature, well-known piece of the station's lineup. I would focus on making that show, that single program, platform agnostic. In other words, make it something that exists on air, online, on stage, etc. That it's designed to be experienced more than just as a radio program. The second would be to look at specials involving multimedia focus on a particular social justice issue per se. So you could say every quarter the stations are required to take a single social justice issue and give it a multimedia treatment. That would include perhaps capturing video, streaming audio, maybe doing visual slide presentation, etc., but some kind of multimedia presentation, and focus it in these ways so that it's much more manageable for our stations who have variant resources, human power to execute on this. And so this is my recommendation, that instead of looking at it as a every and all station programming and every event in the community kind of thing, let's target it towards things that we control and try to emphasize being multimedia and platform agnostic in those areas. Let me add one other thing before I give up the floor, and that is I think stations are realizing, and I experienced this in Cleveland, that people are not necessarily going to the website of a station. People are experiencing radio station multimedia content at YouTube. They're experiencing right. it at Facebook. And so to focus it on our own specific websites or platforms is less important than making sure that we have the capacity to create it well, and then distribute it to where the people are to begin with. A user-driven approach that says, this is where they are, let's get it to them there. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Anyone else?
Ken to the stack.
After Ken.
Ken, and who is the other person?
Jim.
Jim. Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I concur with what Maxie was saying. Surveys have shown that people are going to listen to or view content. If you want to see a Tom Cruise movie or the Sandra Bullock movie or an Errol Flynn, any kind of whatever you want to absorb as entertainment or education, you go to whatever platform it exists on, whether it's YouTube or Netflix, or it's a podcast, you use a different podcast stream, and quite often a lot of YouTube content appears on various people's channels because people rebroadcast things. People are interested, the audience is interested in the content and also the personality delivering the content rather than the method of the content. So focusing on, we have to have a TV, we have to have video, or we have to have slideshows, or we have to be multimedia, or we have to do 3D or VR. It's not necessarily true. What is strongest reach by the audience is for content. And the same thing would even apply to an amusement park. People are going for the sensation that they get by going on the ride rather than how they get what the ride does, what the ride looks like. They're interested in the sensation they get from the ride, the majority of the audience. So I totally agree. It's the content and more than what venue it's provided on. That's more. I'm not saying the venue isn't significant, because you get really used to going to the same movie theater or listening to your favorite box radio or watching your same TV in the living room. So, you know, venue is important, but the main thing is content. You don't care what channel it's on. You want to watch the football game, whether it's CBS or NBC. It's the football game you're after. And that's what we want to provide is content.
Catherine, for the stack as well. Jim, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with what Maxie has to say. I mean, those are great ideas. And what I'm really trying to provide here is just a broad scope. That I personally think that some of the shows, if they only have a couple hundred people listening to them, you know, you never know if they are transformed into digital form as a podcast or part of a stream, they might do better. But I totally agree with the comments Maxie made. My comment would be more to have it as a general policy theme for us to start to thrust the stations into. One of the things that always has struck me is many years ago, I read the when the National Endowment of Humanities and the National Endowment of the Arts was under attack, they put out different reports that had to do with how many people like ballet, how many people like jazz, how many people like classical music. And this sort of relates to a comment that Eric made a few meetings ago when he was critiquing the idea of interrupting music with break-ins of station IDs, et cetera. And sometimes I've thought that we might want to experiment with streaming stations that have some sort of multimedia aspect to it, but then allow us to have uncut jazz, like have 3 hours of Louis Armstrong, but have it in a multimedia way that's creative, or have 3 to 4 hours of Verdi. And part of the reason is I'm thinking of how to monetize that, because the surveys also showed that higher income white Americans love classical music, and upper income African Americans are more willing to support jazz. That was the study that NEA did. So the thing is, I'm just thinking it just is to kick us into the 21st century technologically on these stations. And I agree, specials are good. There's no disagreement. I'm thinking about when we have demonstrations going on, like big marches going on, and then we might be able to have different kind of video streaming things going on to cover them, in addition to in lieu of taking and preempting people on the analog radio, because sometimes you get these ridiculous spikes that people don't want to get off the air to cover a national event. That happened in New York with the Parkland demonstrations, where PFW did it, and it wasn't put on New York, which was absurd. So this is a way to sort of circumvent this, and that's there's really no disagreement here on this.
Okay.
Point of information from Ken.
Yes, Ken.
Can I get it? What is the definition of multimedia?
Multimedia? I would say using various, visual elements, sound elements, video, audio, visual. It can be done in any kind of different ways. I mean, your multimedia is how people are trained in journalism schools these days. They're trained in, look at the kind of stuff we see on news sites. That's the result of people seeing and responding. We know that survey data shows that when people see visual depictions, they tend to be more responsive to the brand. And YouTube, for example, is the biggest source of music these days. We all know that. So there's all sorts of things we could think of creatively that we're not even, that I'm not certainly not aware of, that we could do if we start to push ourselves in that direction.
Okay. The comment that I wanted to make is that I've certainly see this as a vision for the future. In fact, a motion such as this did pass on the PMB last year. Be that as it may, I think it should be a national platform so that one could go to one Pacifica video platform and see what's happening at every station in order to multiply the audience. So that's just my two cents. So where do we want to go with this? This sounds like something perhaps that needs to be perhaps tweaked to add in some of these suggestions. What do you think, Jim? Do you want to tweak this?
I think some of the suggestions were more operationally implementing this. I think it's broad. I mean, obviously,
I would just as soon vote on it because it was sort of broadly written that people can implement it any way they want. It wasn't, and all the ideas that Maxie raised, I totally agree with 100%, and others that we haven't even thought of, I would agree with. I just want to sort of get the ball rolling so that we start to think in these terms. That's all, because everybody else is thinking in these terms.
Madam Chair, for me.
Who is that?
This is Maxie to the stack.
Yes, Maxie.
I think if you could just add something that highlights the emphasis on having capacity at the stations to provide this, video and audio streaming needs to be added. If you added that, I think, as it's written, it would be fine. But I think an emphasis on capacity, so that if an event, like you mentioned before, pops off, we know that we can capture it.
Tom, point of information. In New York, during Occupy Wall Street, all the demonstrations were being covered by video streaming, and we were in touch with probably 5 or 6 video streamers. So I think we can develop a capacity. It's not a big deal to do it, you know, in terms of there's talent here. It's just as we got to reach out to them, and unfortunately, you just weren't doing it. But I know that you're out there. But I hear what you're saying, man. It's not a big, you know, there's no real difference in this.
Well, so, Jim, I'd like to do the same thing as we did before. If you have no objection to including that about developing the capacity, however one conceives of that, into this motion, would you accept that as part of the motion? Then I would feel okay about it.
No big deal. Sure.
Okay, so we'll include that into the body of the motion. So with that being said, are there any objections to this motion?
Tom has one comment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom, yes.
Well, I mean, this capacity has existed at KPFA for a long time. We actually had a button for it up on the website quite a while ago, and it was used, and management took it down. So, I mean, it, at least at KPFA, it's not a problem. All we have to do is put it back up again. And for that, you know, I'm ready to call the question.
Okay. Are there any objections to this motion? Okay, so then we have it passes without objection with that one stipulation that we add capacity. The next motion is, yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's Eric. We seem to be making very good progress. Having said that, there's like 14 minutes left. Would you want to consider extending for 30 minutes? We could possibly get through this whole package tonight.
Okay, we have, I put down the adjournment at, I probably forgot to read that, 11 p.m.
Oh, okay, very good. I'm sorry.
So are we good? Yeah. No, that's good, because normally we would have gone sooner. Okay, so let's see, where were we? Blockchain programming, I believe is 5, right?
Yeah. All right, I'll read that out. All right. Whereas Pacifica has in general as a whole for a plethora of reasons been behind the latest technological changes being implemented throughout media in the 21st century, be resolved, the Pacifica Foundation explore and join the new efforts to help fund and create alternative media in the United States being realized in organizations like Civil. The foundation will apply and join Civil by March 2019, and we will begin to join with others in a line with the new content being created by blockchain journalism that we are currently completely devoid of content with. The use and employment of blockchain journalism and its partners will be included as part of the evaluation process for local station management, including GMPDs and any development efforts being made. Reports on progress in these matters will be incorporated in quarterly reports to the EDPNB and PNB Program Committee starting in March 2019. These reports will be posted and open and transparent for the public to examine and see. Okay, now what the hell is blockchain journalism? Blockchain journalism is essentially a whole series of initiatives that have come into being in the past 10 years because of the drop of funding to journalism in general. I mean, we don't have to talk. Print has declined. Broadcast has declined somewhat, and certainly radio has declined. And so what has occurred is these organizations like Civil has been formed, which basically uses essentially a listener-supported model to support and paid journalistic initiatives. And the reason why I think we need to join it is because there are people who are friendly to Pacifica involved. There are actual content organizations in the Civil network, which include places that have 50,000 to 75,000 paid subscribers each. I mean, these are people paying for it. So, and they actually decide at the management level of Civil to actually disperse money. And I've been to conferences in New York at Columbia Journalism School and NYU Journalism School where they talk about this stuff. And so I think it's something for us to join, to start to work with, and try to understand. And at the same time, it's also possibly the source of new content for broadcast shows. Because there are people in there, there's one blockchain journalism operation going on. All they do is focus on political corruption. And they have, and these are people who've been employed in the straight mainstream media who got disillusioned and moved into this kind of option as an alternative to being employed because they wanted to do really serious journalism and they couldn't do it because they were cut back at print outfits they worked with. So that's the motion here.
Okay, are there anyone for the stack?
Yeah, Ken to the stack.
Okay, Ken.
You're really out to me on this one. I have no idea what you're talking about. Is there an organization called Blockchain Journalism, like the ACLU or something? Is this a political organization? Is this is this like the Knights of Columbus? I don't know what it is. If it's just a movement, like the French and like the Enlightenment movement. Or the artistic movement or something, a bohemian something. I don't know what it is. Is it a movement, an organization? Does it have political association? Is it a nonprofit? We have been associated sometimes with questionable news organizations. We were broadcasting news journalism from Al Jazeera, which is funded by a monarch in Saudi Arabia, in Qatar. And it was slightly biased, and all news is slightly biased, but we have to be cautious about what our affiliations are. So when you say block journalism, I don't know what this, who or what it is, and how one vets the organizations or individuals we're working for. We passed that motion about the disclaimers, which is fine, and I'm totally fine with putting on things that are controversial. But I'd like to know what this organization is before I vote on the motion to become a block journalist.
Maxie to the stack.
Maxie.
Yeah, that was excellent. Jim provided a link, if I remember correctly, to Civil. It was extremely useful. It's a very clean and easy to navigate website that kind of explains block journalism and their strategic partnerships and all that. So I'd certainly encourage you to check that out. I think it's civil.org or civil.com.
.co.
Okay, .co. There are other journalism outfits that are similar to this. Harken comes to mind. Hark, H-A-R-K-E-N. There's the Public Insight Network. Its acronym is PIN. And there are some others, and I only mention that because I would encourage this committee, and maybe Jim to take the lead on, having these organizations present themselves to Pacifica or some kind of presentation be made either by Jim or the committee or whatever, so that we can get a greater feel for this area of journalism and who the players are and who might be a greater, a better strategic alliance or partner, if you will, in the spirit of the gentleman who spoke before me. So that's the only thing I wanted to say. That I, the other thing is I think the timeline that was articulated, if I remember correctly, was March. Is it March? Yeah, that seems a little sudden to me. I think summer 2019 might be a little bit more realistic for us to do the due diligence to know which of these organizations make sense and if blockchain journalism makes sense for us. But I like the progressive approach that you're bringing to this, Jim. I just think we should do our due diligence.
Okay. Tom?
Yeah, my understanding is that it's not an organization. It's an efficient a more efficient process for handling journalism. Is that correct, Jim?
Well, I admit that when I went to a all-day conference on it, I was as confused as you guys are. So, but yes, it's a way for them basically to finance what the civil people were talking about. And yes, you know, Maxie, if you're in New York sometime, maybe we can bring you up to Columbia Journalism School and meet the people involved with it. But what they were trying to do was figure out a way to finance through cryptocurrency, bitcoins, basically alternative journalism that is needed, that they see has not been served by the mainstream media because it has basically retreated from international coverage, from investigative journalism. I mean, a lot of what is involved here are the left liberal journalism organizations of the United States. That seems to be what is involved with Sybil. So, and they're just basically, they have a committee that decides who gets the money. So they decide who gets a part of their cryptocurrency, their Bitcoin currency. But they're also sponsoring interesting and innovative approaches to progressive journalism, if you will, that I think are worthwhile for us to align with.
Okay. So before voting it on this, can we...
This is Ken. This is Ken. One other point of information. Ask. If I go to Sybil.org or whatever that link is, will I be given actual examples of journalism that they've done underneath this system or allegiance or alliance, or is it just theoretical?
No, actually, I would suggest you go to it because what's amazing is there are all sorts of young people involved with this, like people at Wired, people in all sorts of other kinds of established journalistic enterprises across the board that would be useful for us to work with. I mean, it sort of would be a leap in...
No, I understand. My question is, is there somewhere I can see a demonstration of the result of the technology?
Right.
This is the best way.
Right. Why don't you all check it out, and we'll move on to the next resolution if there's no objection. And then, you know, people just sort of get hip to what this is about. I'll try to get more material to you all.
So we're going to not vote on this. We'll table to the next meeting? Is there any objection to tabling this to the next meeting? Okay, hearing no objections. We'll go on to the next one. Maybe we can create a presentation by then. The next one is 6, CUMS, or ratings improvement.
All right, I'll read that. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation needs to increase its audience in order for it to be fiscally healthy, and whereas the current CUMS of the station need to be doubled in all efforts made to realize this goal, since the percentage of people contributing will only go up if the CUM is doubled, since that would indicate that the station's air is building a resonance with its local audience in its metro market, be resolved that all local management teams will be required by March 2019 to submit plans on a quarterly basis as to how they are progressing to double their weekly CUM of listeners. All local Communications management teams will be required to submit their plans to double their team by March 2019, and therefore all quarterly reports to the ED, PNB, and PNB Programming Committee will reflect their progress in that goal. Adherence to these measures and their implementation will be part of the evaluation process to measure the effectiveness of the GMs, PD, and development officers of each local station. All right. Now, the CUMS is, obviously, if we had 400,000 people a week listening to us as opposed to 120,000 people a week or, some number like that, we'd have less financial problems at each station than we currently have. I mean, the whole point is, how do we get more people to listen to each station? And the CUMS are one measurement of that. I mean, that's the highest CUMS I ever saw at WBAI was after the Gulf War. I think it was about 400,000 to 500,000. And that was in 1991, and went before the internet and digital media took an effect on us. Last time they had any CUMS of any note here in New York was, I think, in the 60s, early 70s, when some people say it was 600,000 a week. I don't know how accurate those figures are. But nevertheless, the CUMS at each station need to be doubled, then doubled again, and doubled again. And the question is, are goals given to management teams to say, okay, how the hell do we get that? How do we do this? How do we increase this? And so that's the purpose of this kind of resolution, that basically let's start holding people to the fire and see what the hell they can do to get the amount of people listening increased.
Okay. Anyone for the stack?
Eric, to the stack, if I may.
Maxie, okay, Ken, to the stack.
Eric, Ken. Then Maxie, then Ken. Okay.
I just, I find it troubling that we're using the word doubling. I'm not positive how we measure that, but my position all along has been, it's well known, 90% of our listeners do not contribute, I mean, at least in Washington. But my main concern is expanding the audience does not automatically translate into pledges during a drive. But more importantly, the phrase doubling and the effect it has on evaluations of senior staff, it seems a bit problematic. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.